Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPJ number 142. That's by Sfnimi Joint, share number 142. In regard to emotional intelligence, one of the greatest skills to develop in emotional intelligence is to learn to listen. It is the most important ingredient in empathy, in attunement, which is the ability to genuinely and effectively listening. That is a good way to begin to develop this EQ quality, is your ability to listen and work on that. And Bli Neder, we're going to try, with Hashem's help, to develop Shiurim specifically on this topic. This is how important it is. You know, when you feel defensive or hurt or feel denial when your spouse is trying to talk to you, they won't feel comfortable or safe enough to share things with you, which is really the opposite of listening. There are very hurtful things in life, and one of those very hurtful things in a marriage relationship is the feeling, or in any relationship for that matter, is the feeling of not being heard or understood by those who claim to care about us or love us. As children, being listened to makes us feel worthwhile, makes us feel secure, self-confident, and we long to be understood. And there's no way to understand unless you're truly listening. So listening is an act of love. People don't realize it. It seems so passive to us, but true listening is an act of love. We sustain our relationships by listening. We keep our marriages thriving because of listening. Listening itself in the right way is a high form of empathy. Besides with your ears, which we're going to talk about, the listening with your eyes and with your body. Look directly at the person who's speaking in front of you. Look at your wife and husband. If you're already an effective listener, you may be able to stay adequately tuned in without looking directly at the person speaking at you. But, you know, maintain a comfortable level of eye contact doesn't mean you stare in a harsh way. Just you look gently at the other person and notice their facial expressions, notice their body language. And listen with your body. Lean forward when the other person's speaking. Smile when appropriate. You know, and feel their emotions. And then listening with your ears and really with your neshama. There are people who suggest that the ears may be more essential for a strong, healthy love relationship than even our sex organs. Most of us feel that we are better listeners than we truly are. And therefore, we need to evaluate that. So when you're listening, and ask yourself these questions. Are you able to focus your full attention on the other person? Do you truly set aside your own needs and your needs when you're speaking to your spouse? Do you refrain from disagreeing or giving advice or talking about your own experiences while you're listening? Are you able to stay genuinely focused and attentive? Not just pretending to listen, but actually truly listening. Are you able to listen to criticism of yourself? Or you get sidetracked by that? Or are you able to actually evaluate it and listen? Do you know when you're too tired to listen or too preoccupied? You know, then you have to acknowledge that and move away from that and wait till the time where you're more attentive. Can you tell the other person that you may have to wait and listen later and then do that later and listen later? Do you listen for feelings? Can you sense emotions? Are you aware of your own hidden agendas when you're listening? You know, sometimes when people are listening, they are thinking about the next thing that they're going to say while they're listening, which is not truly listening. Do you listen actively or passively? Can you reiterate sometimes, restate what the speaker is saying? Very often you do that. After you listen, you articulate with words, what you mean to say, let me see if I understand you correctly, and you repeat the wording or the concept of what you just listened to. That creates a special validation. And acknowledging what they're saying, even if you disagree with it, even if you may not like what you're hearing. So then you practice this. And this will definitely improve your ability to empathize. It'll improve your ability to be attuned to each other as a married couple. There is, believe me, there are certain books on listening that I'd like to review. And in one of those books, there's a quote that says, being heard means being taken seriously. It satisfies our need to feel connected to others. The listener helps to confirm our common humanity. It's the need to be known, the need to be understood and accepted by someone who is really listening. And that is really the essence of what the human heart is all about. Having empathy is being able to receive feelings of another and respond in a way that shows that you clearly understood that person. Often we're afraid of our spouse's feelings or thoughts. We're uncomfortable with them. This is true, especially if they're talking about us. When we're not comfortable when they're talking about us, something that's bothering them about us. And it takes courage to show understanding, to show acceptance, even when your spouse is sharing something that you may not be comfortable with, and encouraging your spouse to be open about his and her feelings and set aside our own discomfort. And that is a safe space. And the key really is to really be sincere, not patronizing, because your spouse will pick up if you're just patronizing them, which is sympathizing instead of empathizing. Empathy means that you're using your feelings with someone. Sympathy is a little more removed. Empathy involves also a deeper aspect of listening. It's an intuitive ability to work with your spouse and try to be in their shoes in a real way. Remember that empathy is having the ability to feel with somebody, not for them, but you're actually feeling with them. Imay anechi betzara, I am with you in the pain, but I'm with you in joy as well. Be careful that you're not confusing your feelings with those of your spouses. It is not being tuned in or empathetic to get angry, right? Then you pull away. That's codependence. If you get angry when your spouse gets angry or vice versa, that's not what it is. So it's very important to know that. Now, there are times where you could be overloaded, so you have to take care of yourself first. Give yourself some time to be emotionally ready to be able to hear the other person. Take care of your own health first with your own personal boundaries, your own limits, what you can give, and you work slowly towards it. And we're going to talk more about that ability as well. That's a very, very important thing. So again, we just touched upon it, but this ability of listening is a very strong key component of emotional intelligence. Another aspect of emotional intelligence that helps tremendously with Shalom Bayis and with all other areas is to maintain a positive attitude of hope and of optimism. Abraham Lincoln was known to say that I plucked a thistle, which is a type of a thorn or weeds or whatever it is, and planted a flower where I thought a flower could grow. That's really the idea over here. Positive attitude is not being naive. It's a key to healthy emotional intelligence. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, with a hopefulness, with an optimism. And it can be developed, it can be learned with effort. Even if you're not naturally a positive and an optimistic person, you work on it, it will enrich your life. It will enrich your life. If you explain good events and successes in a permanent and universal terms, and bad events and setbacks as temporary and specific terms, then you will do very well. And the truth is, that is the true aspects of reality. Look at the Das Tfunis of the Ramchal, and he says the idea is that the looking at the good always, that's going to be revealed and last forever and ever and ever. Ra, what we call Ra, which is the negative, really has no essence of existence on its own. It's here for the purpose of Bechira. Eventually it'll be removed. So therefore, everything good has permanence, everything evil is temporary. And therefore, when you're in a relationship with Hashem, with other people, certainly with your own husband or wife, the idea is to be optimistic and hopeful and look at the good that's lying within it. A pessimist gets discouraged easily and gives up. But if you're positive, you're hopeful, you're optimistic, that's a thread that runs through constantly with EQ, with emotional intelligence. Self-awareness, of course, is the key. To be aware when I'm being negative, when I'm being pessimistic. examine that and do your best to work through it. And believe that we're going to try to give shiurim on this also. So you pay close feelings to your attention and your thoughts, your words, your actions, and be aware of this without being self-absorbed. And then notice when you are saying negative things to yourself or thinking in pessimistic ways or acting out negatively or feeling hopeless, and then recognize it. And this is a skill that you'll be able to learn, to recognize it, stop what you're doing, take a couple of deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. These breathing exercises help. Let go of the distraction, it helps you relax, and then focus on the positivity. Why am I acting? Why am I feeling this way? And replace it with positive aspects. You know, you assume your spouse wants you to lose weight. That gets you very upset, and then recognize that he or she only wants you to be healthy and active. And that's what's lying behind it. And all these positive aspects is very, very important. Part of this is cognitive therapy. You know, if your spouse didn't hear something that you said and your negative thought comes into your brain, he or she never listens to me. You reframe that. Wait a minute, what do you mean never? They're under a lot of stress and it's hard for them to focus right now, and that's what happened. That's a more positive thing. It will come back. So here's the idea. And there's a big connection between self-esteem, healthy self-esteem, and negative or positive thinking. And the key really is like this. Listen carefully. You refrain from being too hard on yourself. Don't criticize yourself excessively. Yes, you need to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh at times, but don't criticize yourself excessively. And be authentic. Allow yourself to be who you really are. Affirm yourself regularly. Don't rely on others to validate you. That's an internal work. Hashem loves you with the special koiches that you have, and you use that in the right way. You take responsibility for your own behaviors, your own feelings, and life in general. Not to be a victim, not to have that victim mentality, or someone who blames others all the time. To stay away from critical, judgmental people as much as you possible. You reframe negative comments that were made to you or that you have in your mind in a way that's more useful to you. This is the Shirish, a lot of cognitive therapy, which believe me, that we will also at some point elaborate on, because it could be very, very helpful, not just to relieve anxiety and depression on people that are clinically anxious or depressed, but with every person, every human being. They could use certain aspects of cognitive therapy to help themselves with their koyach ha-machshava and with their optimism, with their positive feelings. And really to work through it. The idea of Gamze Yavar, this too shall pass, when you're going through a negative experience or a difficult experience, is a very important insight. So again, to reiterate some of the concepts that we talked about in this year, which is very, very important, is to develop within yourselves a strong sense of compassion and empathy towards others, especially towards your spouse, which will give you the ability to listen effectively, which Blineda we will elaborate on, and also to maintain a tremendous amount of hope and optimism in your Mahalach HaChaim and in your interactions with others. Bracha v'hatzlacha.